Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Alleluia.
The text of our lesson today is found in the 10th chapter of the book of John. There the Bible reads, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. Jesus therefore said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He runs because he is a hireling and not concerned about the sheep. I am a good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me. I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." Jesus used sheep to teach us a most important and interesting message. You know, sheep have a unique character about them. It's different from other animals. First of all, sheep need constant guidance or they'll get lost. And thus, a quote from Zechariah 13 and verse 7 that Jesus uses in Matthew 26 and 31, "I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered abroad." It's a characteristic of sheep. Another character of sheep is that they are defenseless and that they need protection. Jesus used that fact to teach the disciples to expect persecution in Matthew the 10th chapter and verse 16. "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Not only the sheep have a unique character, but shepherds have a unique relationship with their flock, with the sheep. A good shepherd will know, a good shepherd will love his sheep. That's depicted in Luke the 15th chapter, verses 3 through 7, where the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes and finds the one. We referred to that passage in our lesson last week, but since we're human and we oftentimes forgetful, let's look again at Luke, the 15th chapter, beginning in verse 3. And he told them this parable, saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep which was lost.' I tell you," Jesus said, "that in the same way there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." The Good Shepherd going forth to find the lost sheep. Sheep, a special kind of characteristic that allows Jesus to use this in teaching us the most simple but also the most profound lessons. You note in verse 11 of John 10 that he is called the Good Shepherd. He is our perfect provider, and he is our perfect protector. That's the two ways in which Jesus is the Good Shepherd for us. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 25, the Bible says, "For you were going astray like sheep, but now you're returned under the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls." Let's talk about Jesus for a minute as being the perfect provider. He's the perfect provider because he entereth in by the door. That's verse 2, chapter 10, the book of John, our text. He enters in by the door. What does that mean? Well, in Palestine, during the days of Christ, they had what they called a common fold. I don't know if you've ever driven through the panhandle of Texas and seen all of the cattle that are brought there and put into cattle pens. It just stretches for mile after mile. Well, in Palestine, during the days of Jesus, there were these pens, I guess is the best word for it, where the sheep were brought, and they would be tended while the shepherd did other things. It was always near the city, and generally, the most protection was given to the sheep at night. There was a man that had a job title of porter, and he would watch the sheep as the shepherds would sleep. Early in the morning, the shepherd would come to get his herd, and the porter would recognize the shepherd, and he would let him into the compound. And the shepherd would call the sheep. He would walk through these thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of sheep, and he would talk, sometimes sing a song, and the sheep that were of his flock would recognize his voice, and they would follow him out of the compound into the pasture. Anyone that got into the compound other than through the door where the control was, Jesus described as a thief or a robber. And thus, in John 10 and verse 1, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs in some other way, he's a thief and a robber." What a beautiful lesson it is that Jesus is trying to teach us here. Only Jesus Christ was qualified to call his own. When you and I became Christians, it was because the one who was qualified to call us as Christians through his word was compassionate enough to love us enough to come and provide the way. Well, not only does the shepherd enter through the door, but he calleth his own sheep by name. That's in verse 3 of our text. Before you can provide for any animal, you have to know something about that animal. You have to know his needs and what that breed of animal likes and dislikes. And if you don't know that, you'll not only be unsuccessful in tending to that animal's needs, you might get hurt. I remember in 1979, we lived in Missouri, and we lived on a little farm there. The real farmers in Missouri thought it was funny when I called 10 acres a farm, but coming from the big city, it seemed like a farm to me. It had a barn, and that qualified it, at least in my mind, for a farm. And when we moved there, my daughter wanted a horse. Well, we had a lot of very straightforward discussions. I don't know if discussions is the right word. It was more of a presentation than a discussion. We had a lot of straightforward presentations by me with regard to caring for the horse. I'd just never been one to be a fan of horses, and I couldn't see myself getting up at the break of day and going out and caring for an animal that was wouldn't have been there if it hadn't have been for my daughter. So we had these discussions about caring for that horse. Well, as time went on, and as it is with children, commitments started to wane, and I found myself from time to time going out and trying to interact with that horse, and I always came out to be the loser. When I try to put a saddle on him, he'd take a deep breath and expand his rib cage, and I'd cinch that title up, and then when I tried to get on, he'd let the breath out, and I'd fall and stuff like that, and I just didn't much care for that horse. Well, one day we had a guest at our house by the name of Howard Sneathen, and Howard Sneathen knew about horses. And I looked out the window while he was there, and there Howard was riding that horse around in the back, and it looked like a Tennessee Walker. Howard knew enough about that animal to know exactly what to do, how to communicate with that animal to make the process of riding it a pleasurable experience. Well, Jesus called his own sheep by name. Before he can provide for you and I, before he could give us what we need worse than anything else, he has to know us. And he does. A shepherd hardly ever, in the days of Christ in Palestine, a shepherd hardly ever left his flock. He was aptly described by many as living with his sheep. You and I have heard and seen movies about a child and his pet dog and the closeness that comes. I still sort of tear up when I think about the movie Where the Red Fern Grows, but that brings to my mind the closeness and the qualifications that Jesus had to provide for my needs, for my spiritual needs. That reminds me of a passage that's found in John the second chapter, verse 24 and 25, where the Bible reads, "For that he knew all men, because he needed not that anyone should hear witness concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man." Jesus knows us intimately. He knows us individually. So then why would I worry? For your heavenly Father knoweth your needs, is what I read in John, or Matthew the 6th chapter and verse 32. We live in a world that is oriented toward materialism. I don't know that anyone would argue that. It's almost a crazed society. It's a precious blessing that Jesus knows who I am, not because of what I have, but because of his compassion for my soul. My wife and I try regularly to walk around the inside of a mall here in Phoenix, and as we're walking, we have noticed and we have made comment about the things that people spend money on, and it just seems crazy, in fact, the things that that money is spent. I suppose that they would think that I'm crazy the way I spend my money. But regardless of what we have or what we don't have, Jesus is willing to know us. He is willing to be our master, our Savior. Jesus is a perfect provider because the sheep hear His voice. Verse 3. The shepherd always had a clear and a distinctive voice. Sort of reminds me of the people in our society during my lifetime that had clear and distinctive voices. I remember a impersonator by the name of Rich Little that used to be able to do all these different voices, and he would pick people like John Wayne to emulate, or Johnny Carson, or someone like that, and it's because they had a clear and a distinctive voice. You know what the clear and the distinctive voice is of Jesus? It's the Word of God. It's clear. It's distinctive. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing God's Word. If your faith is weak, it's because you're not feeding yourself enough of God's Word. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, the Bible says that all Scripture is inspired of God, that man may be mature into every good work. Important passages for you and I as we train ourselves to listen to the voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. To be healthy, a man has to have a balanced diet. That's true both in the physical and the spiritual. The gospel is the spiritual diet. The gospel has both positive and negative information. And like a battery, you and I must hook to each terminal in order to have a balance, in order to understand the message that God wanted us to have in order to be pleasing in His sight. When you find yourself going where to worship God, where the message of the preacher is either all positive or all negative, you're not in a good place. You need a balance in order to be strong spiritually. Either the positive or the negative, to the exclusion of the other, leaves a Christian malnourished and unable to perform. Jesus is a perfect provider because He leadeth them out and goeth before them. That's verse 4 of our text. Jesus took the lead. Jesus provided a perfect path to follow. Peter encouraged downcast servants. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, where the Bible reads, "For hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps." He goes before us, doesn't He? He doesn't drive us. He leads us. Remember, when I was a very young person, that my dad would go during certain times of the year to hunt for squirrel. And I thought, if I could just go with Dad, and I would take my Red Ryder BB gun, and I'd do just what my dad did, and I would come home with a squirrel that my mom could cook and make a meal. Well, there come a time when I got to go with my dad, and I remember, as though it were yesterday, there was dew on the ground, and every place that my dad stepped, he left a footprint. And I would get in one of those footprints, and I'd have to jump forward to reach the next footprint of my dad. But I wanted to make so sure that I followed in his footprints to go the same way that he was going, so that I would be successful in the hunt like he was. According to Hebrews 2 and verse 10, Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. He's a perfect leader. He leaves clear and perfect footsteps to follow. We know, don't we, through a study of history, that military men who follow great leaders are successful. The Pattons and the MacArthurs, they're successful. Finally, Jesus is a perfect provider because he has faithful assistants. Jesus is called the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. Elders are then under-shepherds tending the flock locally in congregations of the Lord's church. And thus, part of God's provision for his children is physical leadership. Hebrews 10 and verse 17 says, "Obey them that have rule over you and submit to them, for they watch in behalf of your souls. They shall give an account." It was a sad day when preachers got into the pulpit and taught that elders had no authority. The church is a stronger church when organized according to the pattern set forth in the Bible. We have men at our congregation that have given themselves so wholly and completely to lead us. It's a pleasure to be sheep following them in their being shepherds. Jesus also was a perfect provider. He layeth down his life for the sheep. That's verse 11 of our text. When the flock couldn't reach the compound, the shepherd would take them and find a box canyon. Box canyon is one that has three walls that are high to keep out danger from the sheep and an opening to get into that canyon. The shepherd would drive his sheep into the box canyon, and then he would take rocks or tumbleweed or whatever was available, and he would close off the entry until there was an opening just the same width as the height of the shepherd. And when night would fall, the shepherd would lay down across that opening. And that's where the phrase "over my dead body" comes from. Jesus is a perfect protector. He protects us from the wiles of Satan. Spiritual protection is available today through Jesus Christ. Every time that you read about a person wearing armor in the Bible, you read about that armor being on the front side. You don't read about the armor being on the back side of the person. And that's because a Christian marches forward after the shepherd, following the shepherd. And armor certainly is available according to Ephesians 6 and verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil," is what that passage says. That protection provides for you and I hope. That hope is exhibited very clearly in the book of 1 Peter. Look, if you would, at 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3 and reading through verse 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, that will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Encourage yourself to participate in programs that build strength. Whether those programs be special classes or personal work groups or preaching the truth to your friends or attending gospel meetings or clear and timely discipline, encourage yourself to participate in programs that build strength. You and I must remember that God hates sin. Hebrews 1 and verse 13. And here's something equally important to remember. Christ is the cure for sin. Christ is the cure for sin. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.